You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three, Bart Scott. What does that mean?
The power hour!
God, I love when that happens. The power hour is here. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And if your pet passenger is injured in a car accident, so my dog, Barkley, loves going on car rides. Loves jumping in the car, right? So
nose out the window?
Yeah, the whole thing. Like, you open the sunroof, and he's got his nose out there, and he's howling at people. Like, it's the best, right? So you love taking your pet with you. But what happens if the pet is injured in a car accident? Well, you get help paying for vet expenses. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. You can get a quote at progressive.com. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 to be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. And Bart, we have, as we talked about, tonight in the NBA, you have Suns-Warriors, a great game on the West Coast. On the East Coast, we have Knicks-Nets. I thought you were going to go, meh. I thought you were going to do it.
No.
I was waiting for it.
I bet you. Is it at the Garden?
It is. It's at Barclays.
Yeah.
See, because I really wanted to see. I wanted to see him. I wanted to see Kevin Durant in the Garden, and I guarantee he wouldn't be as ashy as he was where he was before, because you know he'll be getting roasted.
That's such a story.
Listen. His leg was so ashy, I thought that he needed an IV.
You barely saw his. It was like, what,
right,
like
right.
An inch of his ankle?
Right. So do you think that's where the ash stopped? At some point, that's how you know, like, your problem, right? Remember that, what was that, Goodfellas, something? He was like, listen, I know I'm funny, but I'm not that funny. When Sonny was talking.
Do I amuse you?
Yeah. And everybody was laughing. Like, bro, you know at some point somebody saw him getting dressed. And he, you imagine his little bony butt. You know, looking like his legs are white. Like, bro, like, he looking like Ashy Larry. Nobody said nothing, man. Like, bro. So, you know, could you imagine him running by and a guy like Tracy Morgan sees that he has ash on his ankle, like, yo! And just on him to the fact that you know that. And you know what makes it worse?
What?
Like, if Tracy Morgan sees it, he sees how ashy he was, and he started roasting him at the Garden.
Oh, they'd kill him.
But then you know he's going to go and put lotion on. And you think, oh, that's the end of it. No! They really gonna get on them after that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the fun within the fun. But, you know.
No, it's at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. So that's the first game of a really good doubleheader tonight in the NBA. But there's gonna be a difference in the lineup for the Knicks. Not really a difference from the previous game, but a difference just overall. Oh. Because Tom Thibodeau, the head coach of the Knicks, decided at now when you're 20 games, what would it be in the NFL? What's the equivalent? I always say
four games into the NBA
season is when a coach assesses and then he makes changes. Everybody's always like 5 games in. Oh, you got to take him out of the starting line. You got to give it time.
Four games in the NFL? That's like a quarter of the season.
Yeah, right? that's usually a quarter.
This is how we thought we was going to start off. It's not working.
Yeah.
Let's kind of make up some minor tweaks.
Right. So it's time for, you know, a change and see if we can, you know, just get something out of that change. Well, a change that Tom Thibodeau is making that he officially announced yesterday was taking Kemba Walker not only out of the starting lineup. Now, Kemba didn't play Saturday at Atlanta, when the Knicks had a really spirited win over a Hawks team that had been streaking. They won 7 in a row going into that game. And the Knicks played really well. And they looked like themselves again for the first time in a while. And they did so without Kemba Walker, who was sitting because of rest. It was a back-to-back. And they started Alec Burks, who's not really a point guard, but it's sort of like just a guard, a Swiss Army knife kind of player. And they just look like a different team. And Tibbs saw that and thought, time to make a change. And so he announced that change yesterday, and it'll continue now tonight against the Nets.
We're going to make a change. Alec's going to be the starter. I like the way the
we played like that. Don't like the way we've been trending, the inconsistency of our team. Try to make a change. I want to get bigger. I want our defense to be more intact. Basically, that was it. We got to do something different.
Got to do something different. Wanted to get bigger. And obviously also talking about the defensive aspect. All right, so if you're looking...
Does Fournier play defense? So you say, I can't have two guys that can't play defense. I can support one.
I mean, you gave that guy $70 million. You're giving Kemba $8 million. All right, so what decision are you making? Now, again, and Fournier does give you some scoring, whereas, you know, Kemba wasn't doing enough offensively.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't playing a ton, but you started games and started halves, and they both weren't good. Now, if you're wondering, well, why would you make this choice? Why are they picking on Kemba? Why is it all Kemba's fault? Fred Katz from The Athletic had this fantastic stat.
Yeah.
Where do you see this? You tell me if you think this is enough for you to make a decision. You ready?
Yes.
So, the Knicks, when Kemba Walker is on the floor this season, are dead last in the league in defensive rating. Their defensive rating is 116.3.
Can't just be one guy, man.
116.3, that's points per 100 possessions.
Yeah.
All right. When he's on the bench, they have the best defense in the league.
Oh.
99 is their defensive rating. So, Bart, if I told you that, and then if I add this part to it, well, he's a scorer, he's an offensive player. Okay. When he's on the floor, out of 30 teams in the NBA, their offense is ranked 27th. When he's off the floor, their offense is ranked 9th. So is that enough to kind of make you say, all right, I know what my eyes are showing me. He's struggling defensively. Teams are picking up. Chris Paul was almost like pointing at him, like he was Larry Allen. Like he's pointing at him, like I'm going there. Right? And it was just Kemba at this point in his career with his knees and everything else.
Go to the zone, man. Go to the zone.
So this is the decision they make. The numbers tell you, the eyes tell you, all of it tells you. How much of a difference will this make?
Well, listen, the emergence of Quickly, you know, gives you a bit of, like, it looks like he's taking the next step, right? He brings instant energy. And I know you still like him on that second unit.
Yeah.
But you feel like you have three guards that you can kind of count on, right? You talk about Quigley, you talk about Burke, and you feel like, okay, I got D Rose. So, you know, maybe it's best for Kemba to be somewhere else, and I would ask him where he would like to go. You know, because
it's a movable contract. There's not a lot of money on it. And I mean, is he serviceable? Is he a starter in today's NBA? I don't think
he's
a starter anymore.
But that's the thing.
Can he accept that?
Everybody, exactly, because we saw Carmelo, a deadly scorer, had to really adjust to
John Wall didn't want to accept it. The Rockets are begging him to, and now we'll see if that does work out in Houston.
And we all been there. Like, you have to, and also when you think about, you know, Kemba being there, it's stunning Quigley's growth. So if you let him go, you're a lot quicker. Because eventually you want Quigley to be the guy, right? If you can have a homegrown point guard, and we talk about, okay, well, he's a shooting guard. Well, that's just what they needed for him to play when he was at Kentucky. Like, you know, we know that he was a point guard, and Calipari's hard on his guy. So, you know, you want to have the opportunity to allow him to blossom. And to do that, you have to take Kemba Walker off the court.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number for those on hold. We do want to get to your call, certainly when we can in a moment. It's Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We want you to listen to Man in the Arena podcast, 10-part series exploring how sports impacts our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career. It's brought to you by State Farm and available wherever you get your podcasts. We are working on getting a very special guest coming up here in a moment. I don't know if you've seen this story, Bart, in the NBA, when we stay in the NBA conversation, but this is one of those, again, as today is, you know, Giving Tuesday, we are celebrating and supporting, as we do every year, the V Foundation for Cancer Research. If you can be part of any donation, you can, v.org/donate, every dollar, every single dollar goes to cancer research. And in the NBA, there's a story involving an NBA official. His name's Tony Brown, and he was battling pancreatic cancer. In fact, he was stage 4. And it is one of those things that is scary. Again, as I told you, remember, my family just went through it as well. And it is tough to see and tough certainly to endure. And it is amazing, a great story where he has now been cleared to work. And they have him working now, bringing him back slowly, this NBA referee. His name's Tony Brown. And he is right. And he is right now back to work in the capacity of being in the replay center, which I'm sure nobody loves to do that. Mm-hmm. But for Tony Brown, it's great to be back. And Tony joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Tony, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes. It's Alan Hahn. It's Bart Scott. And I guess the first thing I'd want to say to you is, you know, just a congratulations, how great it is to see your story and how you were able to come out on the other side and be back at work. And you were last night in the replay center. Was it extra special? What was it like for you to be able to just get back to work, get back to basketball, get back to feeling a little more normal after everything you've been through?
Oh, hey, guys. First off, thanks for having me. And, you know, I listen to you guys often and do a great job. It was very special. I'd never been so happy to see a residence in before like I did when I got here. You know, typically I would always dread coming over here because we're like, oh, at the residence in. But it was just so special. And it really made me appreciate all the long, hard years of hard work I put in to get where I am. And it just gave me a great appreciation for the job itself and the people I work with. Just amazing group of people.
Now, when you get a diagnosis like this, like, what's the first reaction and what got you through your journey and your process?
You know, the first thing that came into my mind is, unfortunately, in a selfish manner, is how are my kids going to survive without me? Hmm. And really, it was about how am I going to survive without my kids? And I think that's really what got me through this entire journey is being able to fight for them and, you know, the love for my family that really pushed me to continue to fight every day. And the people that just gave me unbelievable support and love. And me not fighting is like letting them down. So I couldn't do that. So that's what really has helped me continue to fight. And, you know, until this day, continue to fight it, you know, because it's a struggle.
We're talking with Tony Brown, NBA, a veteran NBA official, officiated over 1,100 regular season games, two All-Star games, and in the NBA Finals in 2020 for the first time as well, and also battling back from pancreatic cancer. And I guess for those listening today, especially as we're talking about this, we talk a lot about screening and you know, just getting that done. We had a caller
in our community.
We had a caller call us before who said he doesn't like doing that stuff, but because it's a history in his family, he's got to do it. How did you learn about it? How did you find out about it? What warning signs, if there are any, did you have, and what should people be aware of?
Yeah, well, for pancreatic cancer, typically by the time it surfaces, it is already spread to another one of your organs or something. And for me, I found out because I was working in Miami, had went out and, you know, got some ulcers and had gotten food poisoned. Hmm. And at that point, I started to have a little bit of pain in my liver area. And didn't think much of it, you know, because it wasn't like a really intense pain. It was just nagged, you know, at night when I was trying to sleep. That's when it would bother me. But it went on for about a week, and I finally decided to go get it checked out. And that's when I found out that my numbers were off. And that was like my one of my alkaline numbers was off. And for me, it was like we take head to toe physicals every year, and I've always been one of, you know, very healthy guy. So it became alarming, but the doc was like, you're such a healthy guy. This shouldn't be big, much of a problem. He said, you probably have a little bacteria, go get checked out. So one screening led to another screening, And before you know it, by the time I ended up having blood clots a series of blood clots that had trickled to my lungs. And I was scheduled to fly out day before to work in Chicago. And I was actually, when I went to get that particular screening done, they ended up having to call me back to the hospital because they said, hey, you can't fly, you can't do anything. So they immediately bid to me to the emergency room to start treating the blood clot. And at that point, I still did not get a cancer diagnosis. I was scheduled to see the oncologist because they said, oh, we feel a little something, but we don't know. And I was scheduled to see the oncologist that same day. And when he called me and had me go back to the hospital. By the time they reeled me out of emergency room into a regular room, they rolled me over to the oncology floor. And that is where I was told right then I had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And at that point, that's when life flashed all in front of my eyes at that particular moment.
Now, they say that you can't have a testimony without a test, and this is truly, truly a test. But how has it been? How are you using it to inspire those that's in your inner circle to encourage them? Because within our community, we don't go to the doctors. We don't get these testing and the importance of, you know, getting diagnosed early on to increase your chances of survival.
What I try to do is anybody who listens, I try to encourage them to go and get some type of testing done early. And, you know, for us, I think, you know, the only thing that you can really fear are the things that you know. The stuff that you don't know, you shouldn't fear, because it's like chasing a boogeyman. But I really think, you know, for me, this is a testament of knowing that you just have to stay positive and be surrounded by positive people that encourage you to do better and be better. And during the process, you end up making them better because you just want to fight, you know, and you want to, you can't do this alone. I wouldn't be where I am right now if it wasn't for all the love and support that I received from the people that I have.
Tony Brown joining us right now, NBA veteran NBA referee on the Goodyear Hotline. Again, diagnosed, as he just told us earlier this year, stage 4 pancreatic cancer, was able to get back to work, working in the replay center last night. And I guess that suggests that your treatment is going well enough that you can get back to work. I'm sure that means the world to you to be able to work again. But where are you right now in your treatment, and how are you feeling?
I am feeling exceptionally well. Really not feeling any pain. The goal is the tumors have been continuing to shrink with each scan that I've received. And for me, right now, I've completed 14 treatments. And, wow, you know, this upcoming weekend will be number 15. And the goal is we're going to do 2 more, which will complete 16 treatments, do another scan, see where we are. And the goal is to transition into a clinical trial that allows me to keep the cancer at bay and just go out and try to, you know, live a normal lifestyle. But, you know, for me, the toughest days are just the chemo days. And you see that so many people are in there suffering and going through it. It's just, it's really tough, you know, and that is when, you know, you end up leaning on your family and friends just to get you through it. And, you know, try not to think about, which I never tried to think about, why me. Just want to say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna fight it with everything I have so that I don't let the people down that love me.
Since you are feeling so well, can I ask you about the physical play in the NBA right now?
I'm all for it.
And do you see this changing, or do you like the game? Because you've ref for a while. It got out of hand with the old Nutmeg and Trae Young, like letting people run into him and flopping, and James Harden. Hey, I'm from Detroit, so I'm from the Bad Boys era. I like a little physicality.
He's also a linebacker too. He likes to hit people.
So is the physicality here to stay?
You know what? Hearing that from you, there's no such thing as physicality, knowing that you were a linebacker. But you know what? The game is a beautiful game. And for us, you know, as referees, we just try to bridge the gap and watch a lot of video to learn to do better. But as of right now, me watching games, you know, hey, it looks fine to me when I'm sitting at home. I can't wait to get back on the court. Now, once I get back on the court, we can revisit this, and then I can have an answer for you. But for right now, I think they're doing great.
it has to be like the longest yard, no blood, no foul. You know what I mean? Like, hey, come on, man, stop it. Battle through.
Well, but I totally hear what you're saying. It looks good to me until, of course, you've got the whistle and you're out there and you got to make a call.
Right.
Things get a little different.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, until you guys are sitting there saying, "What is Tony Brown looking at?"
Tony, I was actually I was going to say that.
Yeah, we got your number now too. Yeah, hit you up. Hey, Tony, what was that, man?
Usually pretty. You know,
I see it right.
as people who love the game like I do, it's usually the first thing you do is to say to yourself, what kind of call was that? And I'll say this, Tony, I can't wait till I say, what is Tony Brown doing? What is he doing? Do you have a goal in mind? Do you have a goal in mind about when you can get back out there on the floor? I mean, obviously goals are very important, especially going through what you're going through. Yes. Do you have that in mind? Do you let yourself think about that day when you're back out there on the court?
I thought about it time I got diagnosed. Beyond, after I thought about my family and health, I thought about, okay, what day can I go back to work? And as I continue to go through treatment and everything else, that has been one of my inspirations to work hard enough to get back to work. And right now, my goal is to get back before the season is over and, you know, hopefully sometime after All-Star break or something. Yeah. But I am so looking forward to it, and that's what I'm working for.
It'll be a joyous day. I hope that you tag us when you're able to ring that bell, right? That's the symbolic feeling to ring that bell. I hope you inbox us.
That is my goal, you know, and that's one of the most rewarding things while you're sitting there getting chemo, the days that I do have chemo at the hospital. Mm. When you see someone walk out and they ring that bell, that means that they're cancer-free, and that's their last treatment. And that is one of the most rewarding things, to sit there and observe, because it gives you hope and it inspires you to continue to fight, because it can be done.
I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to the day you're at Madison Square Garden doing a game, and I could be there to see you shake your hand in person. And then, of course, during the game,
I'm going to be there. Toe, come on, Toe. That wasn't a foul, Toe. Come on. You're killing me, man.
Come on, Tony.
What are you looking at? Hey, I can hear that. We like you better when you're at home.
Get the rust off, Toe. Right. Come on, Toe.
Don't mind us if we hand you a pair of glasses after the game, just saying. Tony,
I'll wear them proudly with a smile.
We really appreciate you. We are pulling for you. We are cheering for you, and certainly wishing you all the best. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes here today. God bless. Thank you, Tony.
God bless you all. Thank you for having me. Take care.
All right, all the best. Tony Brown, again, a veteran NBA referee going through it right now, Bart. Right now, as you heard him, 14 treatments already.
Going
still two more to go. Working 2 days a week, because it's just to, you know, as you know with these stories, so important for him or anybody to have a goal, to have something in mind. Give me something to do. Yeah. I need something to do. And replay center is not something. A lot of referees don't like having to work the replay center. Yeah. They kind of rotate that. Because it's like, you know, I think it's in Secaucus. You're in New Jersey. It's like, what am I doing? I'm watching games. But for him, I'm back to work.
I just hope they gave him the breakfast coupon at the Resident Inn. You know what I mean? At least give him the croissant in the morning or something, man.
Something, right. Put the cookie on the pillow, even if it's not that right.
That's the Western.
Whatever it is. Somebody, just put a cookie on the man's pillow. He's been through a lot.
A warm cookie.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got your calls coming up. But also, like I mentioned, you know, today, a story like that is inspiring enough. And that, of course, is why we are celebrating and we are supporting today. Giving Tuesday, V Week, of course, is this week. And the V Foundation for Cancer Research is what it's all about. If you can donate, we ask you to. V.org/donate. Someone like Tony Brown, perfect example of somebody that is relying on every dollar you can afford to give. All right, so coming up, we have your calls. The New York Mets clearly all in, but wouldn't it be so Mets if there ended up not even being a season to play? A lockout is looming, Bart.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it is true. But first, now, you know what, Bart? I think this is yours, but I'll do it for you.
Okay.
We want to tell you we're brought to you by Die Hard, America's most trusted auto battery. We know you have places to go, so don't let your battery hold you back. Get an auto battery that is trusted from the start. Count on the reliability, durability, and power of Die Hard batteries to get you on the road. It's not your fault. I know you're looking at that, but it's not your fault. I'll explain. Available at your Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest stores.
One word.
I'm one of those kids who has cancer.
One hope.
We hope his treatment is working. We just hope.
One mission.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join us in the V Foundation in a fight against cancer. Visit V.org/donate today.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Every minute that I have left, I will thank God for the day, for the moment I have.
Join us in the V Foundation in the fight against cancer. Visit V.org/donate today.
Welcome back. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We also brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Yes, it is Giving Tuesday, and with that, we are kicking off V-Week. By doing so, we are supporting the V Foundation for Cancer Research, as we do every year. And what we ask you to do, if you can, donate what you can, by going to v.org/donate now, and 100% of your donation goes to cancer research. What we have right now, updated numbers for you, Bart, as we have a goal for today of $250,000 raised. We are at this point, 2:30, so middle of the day, we're at $136,600.
We're going to finish strong.
We're getting closer, of course, but we want to continue to promote that idea that we can do this together, and let's do this together. So, on our way. Bart, get your checkbook out. Let's go.
Falling on the budget.
Please
do.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We want to get to your calls. I know a lot of Knicks fans were concerned about the lineup move made by the Knicks and what it means going forward, and if it's really the only move to make right now. It certainly is, but as you know in the NBA, Bart, there is a December 15th date that marks when everybody that you signed or traded for in the summer can then be traded. So I call it the unofficial beginning of the trade season, and that is certainly a date to watch because you've got a lot of players that can then get moved, and you want to see now what other teams are doing with the likes of John Wall. How about this one? I was on NBA Radio Sirius XM this morning with Frank Isola, who you see all the time on ESPN. And he and I talked about something I found interesting. What if the Lakers decide? The Lakers are a 500 team, not playing great.
Yeah.
Right? They're just not playing well.
Will LeBron play GM, general manager?
What if they decide to move on from Russell Westbrook? What are you willing to – like? Now, remember, that contract a couple of years ago when he was leaving Houston, people were like, no, it's too much money on that contract. Yeah. There's only the rest of this year and one more year left on it.
Yeah. But the Brody always seems to struggle the first half of the season, plays well the second half.
As he did
of
last
the season,
year in Washington, so yeah, he played a lot better.
So you get nervous that if he starts over again, you're going to get the beginning of the year Russell, not the second half of the year Russell. Yeah. And I – what really bothers me is the fact that he can't shoot. Like, because I feel like you can mix in shooting no matter where you go. Like, you can find a place, okay, even as you're trying to figure it out.
And it's almost like he needs to dominate the ball.
Right.
But his intensity, is he playing with the right players? Is he playing in the right system? Like, that's a question to ask when he's so used to being the main guy.
Right.
His best years, MVP, KD wasn't around.
Yeah.
Like, it was his team, his franchise.
Yeah.
It's when they tried pairing him with stars, it just didn't work. Put him with Russ, didn't work. Put him with Beal, didn't work. You know, for him, he's got to be the man. Now you got him in another team that's loaded with stars. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and him. Well, those two guys obviously put themselves ahead of him, and he's just like, whoa, Like, I'm supposed to play off the ball? I can't do that.
Under Brody, I'm supposed to make the play.
So I'm just curious to see if that's a name to keep an eye on. Like, Ben Simmons still has to end up going somewhere. So this thing could get real active real fast once we get to December. So I tell everybody to keep an eye on that. Meanwhile, it's been a very active hot stove for baseball, Bart.
There's been no fire. It's been an inferno.
I mean, look at the money being thrown around. So it's a lot of money, which is funny because they're about to shut down the league tomorrow at 11:59 p.m. because of money. But yet, you know, again, you see Max Scherzer get what he got. So you asked us yesterday after they signed Scherzer, the Mets signed Scherzer to a three-year, $130 million deal. And you said, well, what about Javi Baez? He's next, right?
Right.
And the feeling was, I thought, well, I mean, you would think that'd be a priority. You'd give up a lot for him at the trade deadline, right?
Yeah.
And he played well, and he and Francisco Lindor are very close. So you would think, yeah, if you're the Mets, you want Baez. He's a, you know, obviously gives you everything he's got, hardworking player. I know he had a bad relationship with the fan base.
Yeah, slumps, but he has a tremendous defensive.
Yeah, all that stuff, right? But he just signed a six-year deal with your Detroit Tigres.
Yeah, we
streak
it, baby.
The Detroit Tigers. Yeah. 6 years, $140 million. So he's now out of the mix. So you imagine, as you mentioned, Jeff McNeil probably plays second.
Yeah.
And they also brought in Eduardo Escobar, and he'll probably play third.
Yep.
You got, and so that's going to be your lineup. You're going to have Alonso at first, and you got Lindor, obviously, at short.
Outfield. Nimmo, who knows if Nimmo, you know, Nimmo get back healthy.
Are you feeling better? Are you feeling better about that, knowing that you could have DeGrom and Scherzer as your pitchers? Now, you want to have a season. That'd be nice. We'll see how long this lockout lasts. But
Stroman next?
If you – well,
discount.
I mean, there's how much time?
Discount.
If Stroman's going to sign?
Discount, double check.
You better sign soon.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and if you're the Yankees, you know, in New York, there, if the Mets do something of significance like they did with Scherzer, you look at the Yankees, you go, what are you guys going to do? You going to do something? Yeah.
They got to try to re-sign Rizzo, right? You think they're going to re-sign Rizzo?
Yeah, and how about also the only shortstops left, and I think they are looking for a shortstop, is Trevor Story and Carlos Correa.
Oh, Correa. Oh, that'd be a tough one to digest.
Why?
Because, like, all the things that he said, right? And Cashman said all the right things. That has nothing to do with what he can say what he wants to say about Derek Jeter. But
all right. It's like I said, it's just interesting to see the money being spent. And then the lockout happens, and the Mets, this might be, you know, as close as it gets for them to be able to make some significant moves right now. And they did that with the pitching. They do lose a second baseman that they did spend, you know, assets on to get, but he ends up going to Detroit instead. He'd rather be in Detroit than in Queens.
It's Detroit, baby.
Well, we shall see where that certainly goes. All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got your calls coming up on the Knicks, on the Mets, on college football, and the head coaches who decide they're going to jump ship before we even get to the bowl games. And yes, of course, it is getting cold in the studio. That certainly means we're almost done for the day. We encourage you to give now at v.org/donate, and we'll get to your calls. But first, we want you also to join host Gautam Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. A companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries, this 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN Plus. Your call's next.
There's a reason why there's survival odds. And the reason why there's survival odds is because someone beat it.
Going home now.
We need your help.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
So don't give up on me.
Join us in the V Foundation in the fight against cancer. Visit v.org/donate today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Han.
Number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought.
And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.
Join us and the V Foundation in the fight against cancer. Visit V.org/donate today.
Welcome back, Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. And yes, we invite you to donate to the V Foundation. 100% of your donation goes to cancer research. It is simply V, the letter V, .org/donate if you can. Whatever you can give, again, all of it goes to cancer research. It is part of Giving Tuesday for us today at ESPN. We thank everybody throughout this show who has donated, who has listened, who has been part of the storytelling as well today. It's a very important day for us, very important day for a lot of people. And if you are in the struggle right now and battling cancer or have somebody close to you who is battling cancer, we're with you. Our prayers are with you, and certainly all the work of the V Foundation is to help everybody win this battle. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. And by the way, speaking of that, we did have a veteran NBA referee, Tony Brown, on with us earlier this hour, and he is going through it right now, stage 4 pancreatic cancer that he is battling, and in the midst of battling it, he has done well enough through 14 treatments that he has been allowed to get back to work a little bit. Now, he's not on the court yet in the NBA, but the NBA has him in the replay center a couple of days a week, and he was able to work last night. It means the world to him, and he can't wait till guys like us are yelling at him, "What the hell are you looking at, Tony?
Yo, don't. Yo, don't. You're breaking my heart, don't.
But it was a fantastic interview. If you missed it, of course, in any other portion of the show, you can always find that interview and all 3 hours of Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Okay, we have a great lineup tonight, NBA games. Knicks and the Nets, Suns and the Warriors. Fantastic one. Let's get to some calls. Let's go to Dave in Maryland. Hey, Dave.
What's up, my friend?
How we doing?
Okay, just want to talk about the Knicks and this Kemba situation here. This experiment's over. I didn't even understand the signing to begin with. I know it's on a cheap contract. I think it's like 8.7 this year,
right.
But he just don't fit with Thibodeau in the scheme of things. And I'm surprised it took Tom this long to figure this out. But clearly, like you said, as soon as the trade deadline comes up, once they reach that point where they can start doing it, he's either going to get traded or waived because he just don't fit with them. And you know, like I said, they got a lot of nice guards with Quigley and Fournier and Burks and Rose. So he just don't fit with them.
Yeah,
and he's not good defensively.
And that's the thing, Dave. You nailed it when you said that. It's the fit that's weird. And the reason why it took this long is you give it 20 games. You give it a look for 20. You see if it can get better, if they can figure something out. It didn't happen. And they'll do the right thing by him if they can get – if there's a team that's interested in him rather than let him sit on the bench. But they had to give it time. And this is the result of it. John is in New York. Hey, John.
What's going on, Hahn?
How we doing?
Good, man. I'm good. I want to talk about something that I don't think is being talked about enough.
What's that?
And it's the emergence of Obi Toppin, the former National Player of the Year,
mm-hmm.
who put a mid-major program on his back
mm-hmm.
and was about to go win a national championship and earn Dayton the one seed. There's three things that I really want to point out. The first is net rating. This kid is behind Steph Curry in the entire NBA. The second thing is opportunity. The only time that this kid has been given the keys was in summer league, and the kid was first team all summer league. Now, we're giving him 15 minutes a game. He's a plus 94 for the season,
mm-hmm.
behind Julius Randle, who is a minus 62.
Right, but what's the difference there? But John,
look good.
John, what's the difference there? Who has the big contract and who doesn't? You know, that's the big difference, unfortunately. It doesn't make it right. But what I'm saying to you, though, is that Julius Randle's a star player who creates for himself. Obi Toppin has been fantastic. And by the way, I talk about him all the time. He's one of my favorite players on the team. And you can just see him getting better and better and better. They got to find ways to get him on the court because the numbers you gave us are absolutely accurate. And you can't overlook them for long. They've got to find ways to get him on the floor and to keep him on the floor. And sometimes he's got to play with Randle. And that's when you worry about the impact it has on defense. But Obi Toppin is becoming a bigger story. And man, is he a show when he's up in the air throwing it down. All right, we thank everybody again. V.org/donate. We'll see you tomorrow.
New hashtag free Bobo.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.